Lee Chambers is the founder of Essentialese, where he provides top-notch service for fellow entrepreneurs who are trying to figure out what's holding them back in business. Before that, he ran a video game company. There were some big things that happened in his life that gave him the fuel to start Essentialese and helped him realize he had a lot to give to the world. Entrepreneurs all over struggle with the idea of keeping their identity free from the business while still delegating and creating something self-sustaining. But it is not easy, and having someone like Lee on your side is a wise move. We're unpacking a lot of cool stuff here, and if you're an owner listening in, there are some things that will resonate. After the show, if you'd like to chat with Lee and see how he can help, head over to essentialese.co.uk or to his personal page at leechambers.org. Let's listen in now. To get the chance to chat with you today. I love talking with entrepreneurs. You know, when I started off this podcast, I didn't know how many awesome people that I'd be getting the chance to talk to, and everybody's got a really cool story. So let's start with, like, what's your company do? Like, what is it that you guys do there?
Yeah, so I've got a company at the moment called Essentialize, and It's effectively a coaching and well-being company. And we help business owners, entrepreneurs, and small businesses to really get the best out of their employees and the leaders to get the best out of themselves in terms of well-being and performance. But for me, this is my second company. I've run a previous company, which worked in the video game industry. And I recently exited that last year. But I built that from scratch without any funding. And the journey of building that business is the reason why I've built the business that I have today. And That in itself has been a journey that's worth sharing, because it's been full of challenges, full of adversity, but full of ups and peaks as well. And it's a journey that's well worth sharing and well worth listening to.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, there's something I think once I get this business up and running to the point where it's self-sufficient or it crashes and burns, whichever comes first, I would love to start more companies and to just kind of like take what I've learned before and say, okay, shake out the bugs and let's do it this way. So like one of the things that I always ask somebody that started up a second company is like, what kind of lesson did you learn before that you're like, okay, here's what I'm going to do this time around. Is there anything notable that you're applying to these days?
Yeah. So I think the first one, Mike, is really start as a beginner. Because it's very easy to think, oh yeah, you know, I've run a business before. I know all this stuff. I can go in at an elevated level and know. But actually, I decided to get my beginners caught on and start again, because I've moved through two very different companies. So my previous company sells a product. Now I sell a service. Previous company was selling to, you know, a European marketplace of other businesses. This business sells to a more regional element of businesses, but also direct to customers as well. And very different industries, very different timescales on sales, very different marketing tactics, marketing channels. So I had to go in there and think, if I got in there and thought I could just replicate what I'd done previously, it would have crashed and burnt, because it's so easy to crutch on previous success. I think another thing as well is my first business took off in a big way, became very successful very quickly, and diverted away from my values and the reasons why I started in the first place, because it grew organically very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. So I've been very mindful growing Essentialize at a slower pace, but ensuring that all the decisions pass through the understanding of the difference that I want to make in the world. And one of the big reasons I became very clear is because my first business wasn't going to create the legacy that I wanted to leave in the world. And in 2014, I lost the ability to walk and had to relearn to walk again. And through that, I really got clear on the type of business that I wanted to run. And it's the reason why I set up my second business, because this is a business that impacts other people, makes a difference in the world, helps other people through adversity. And I realized that I became a lot more passionate about that than my initial business.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a lesson. And the first business, it gave me finance for a comfortable life. It gave me the money to look after my family when I was recovering.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me so many things. But I've not taken the successes of that for granted and decided to start again, building the foundations of a new company. And that's what I'd advise to anyone. Don't take your successes for granted and don't keep doing the same thing over and over again, because that's crazy.
Oh, man. No, you're right. It is crazy. And I love how you have realized, okay, you have to approach with a beginner's mindset, first of all. And yeah, if you just keep making the same mistakes over and over again, you're going to get the same results, right? But mm-hmm. what I find admirable about you personally, right, is your ability to realize that the circumstances that you're in are fuel for what you're capable of doing in the future. And I've talked with some people that have gone through some fairly similar things, and there's just something about your minds that works. Like, okay, this would normally get somebody down in the dumps and they'd be like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Like, I can't do anything. Oh my goodness. And they just wallow. And people like you are like, I'm going to use this for fuel to succeed with another venture. So shoot, man, that answers like three other questions that I had for you. This is like an efficient podcast. It's awesome. Cause I was going to ask, I'm like, well, what made you start? And you answered that. And then like, well, what kind of challenges have you overcome? And you answered that. And it's like, shoot, man, I'm out of stuff to talk about. I'm joking. Well, I never run out of stuff to talk about, man. I never run out of stuff to talk about. Well, so the differences between the previous company and this company, like, are there some challenges that are the same across both? Like, were you getting started up with Essential Ease and you're like, well, that actually is the exact same as the previous company? Like, what kinds of things would you think of?
Well, I suppose the very similar challenges of when starting a company, you've got an awful lot of hats to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a decision not to just focus when building Essential Ease on, right, I have some investment ability to go and spend this and spend. I wanted to wear all those hats again, so that when I could outsource different hats, I know that I'd done it and I learned something. So that real hunger to learn helped me in my first business, and it's helped me in my second business. And really, it's about staying curious, Fritz. You've got to have that curiosity, like you're a seven-year-old child again, just wanting to know why things work and how they work, because that's how you can kind of face those challenges. And I suppose over the past year with COVID, it's been a challenge for a service-based business, which was doing a lot of physical delivery. But at the same time, that same approach of, well, I'm actually going to evolve as I go along. I'm going to constantly churn and develop what I'm doing. So that becomes a bit of a mentality as well. But there is no doubt there's challenges. My first business, I couldn't get funding. So I had to self-fund and grow it. And I decided to self-fund this as well. And that's a challenge, you know. You've got to be ready to face the hardcore reality that a business isn't a business if it isn't profitable, and you can't make a difference if you've not got a sustainable business. Mm-hmm. But still, those are challenges that I decided to embrace and feel that that's beneficial for my own development. Because if there's one thing I'll advise any entrepreneur, it's keep growing yourself. Don't just grow your business, because there'll become a point where you've got a massive business, you feel like a little person. Mm-hmm. And that disconnect, it's not a nice place to be. And it's where I actually end up coaching individuals now to help them grow personally and professionally, because they've got themselves a business, they've grown it and realized actually business is just a vehicle to get to where you want to as a human being. And if you're in a massive truck and you feel like you can only drive a bicycle, you're going to feel like it's not comfortable, and not in a appreciating uncomfortable way, because we've all got to, you know, stick our foot outside, get uncomfortable. It's going to feel like you're way outside of that it's gonna feel like a roller coaster and you're not strapped in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a place where you want to be. So it's really important that you continue to grow and ensure that, you know, you move in towards your potential, because a business is great, but so are you.
Yeah. Yeah. And too often, you've probably seen this too, where owners will put all of their identity in their business. And it's kind of the flip side of things where, okay, things start going south and then they're like, oh my goodness, I'm a failure. Like, you know, they've like soul bound themselves to this idea of this abstract business. And I find sometimes I've struggled with that myself. It's like, all right, well, this is just data. It's not a knock on me. You know, you can't know what you don't know, but kind of wallowing in the self-pity for too long is also not good. So, well, let me ask you this. I'm curious. So with the type of people that you help, like, is there some indicator, like if they look at their own lives and they notice that there's some trait or some quality about themselves where they're like, oh geez, that's me, you know, and they may need some help. Like what does that person look like when they're like really out of their depth?
Yeah. So generally speaking, Fritz, it appears in one of three ways. The first one is everything has gone into the business,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly either the health, the relationships, the parenting, something happens in the life that shakes those foundations. And, you know, it might be a health scare. It might be having a really rocky time in the relationship, but it just suddenly casts a light on them because they've had their eyes on this business, and suddenly this big light shines on them. And they feel like they're in the middle on the stage and they're like, they're scared. They come to me and they say, look, Lee, I'm frightened. And that's one of the ways people come. The other one is more often than not, they've managed to grow the business, but all of a sudden they're struggling to disconnect and unplug themselves. They're not able to see where they can bring the most value. So they tend to have built this business and suddenly they're struggling to delegate anything. They've automated a few things, but suddenly they're at that pivotal point and they just feel like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do in my own business. And I've got to this point and I've known what to do every stage. And suddenly I just don't know what to do now.
Yeah.
And they end up, you know, finding some of my content, or I end up, you know, they end up getting referred to me. And at that point, it's, you know, it's like, it's kind of really helping them to get, because there is another step to take, but you need to be more self-aware of yourself. You need to understand what you bring value, and you need to understand and have a longer term vision, a walk away point, a point where you want to sell, a point where you want to actually grow this into something, you know, bigger. But you need to know that and be able to break that down into actionable steps that you can take. Because there's nothing worse in business than being paralyzed. Because if you're the leader and you don't make decisions, it's only going to go one way.
Yep. And that's down. I get that. Do you have a story of a person that came to you about, hey, I really need help in this regard? And how you were able to help them out?
Yeah, so there's quite a few, but let's go into the story of Darren.
Okay.
And he'll happily be name checked in this. He's got authorization from him beforehand.
So this is a real life person. You're not just making it up. Darren. Yeah, that's the name.
Yeah. So Darren runs an IT company. And, you know, he had 13 employees. Everything looked successful for him on the outside. He had the nice car, the nice house, wife, family. And he literally got to a point where his company was starting to attract interest from other companies in the industry. And suddenly he had to start to really think about, okay, so I'm at a bit of a crossroads here. And I'm really not clear on what decision I should make. at the same time, he lost his best friend to suicide. And that was kind of like the turning point for him. Suddenly that massive tidal wave of his losing his friend left him just feeling scared and completely paralyzed in that decision. So came to me and we really started to just work and strip it back. So we really looked at, you know, why he started his business in the first place. Mm-hmm. We really looked deep into his psyche and started to look, Darren, what values do you live and stand for? What do you actually want? What have you been suppressing all these years because you've been so busy building this business? What do you actually want? And we actually stripped it back and realized that what he wanted to do, he wanted to travel. But he'd not been able to travel because he was mm-hmm. so invested in his business. He'd not had a holiday for 13 years.
Just got to get out and see the world and kind of, I mean, I guess that sort of serves as a, like a pattern interrupt as well, right? You know, if he's used to living life a certain way and then how come this never changes? Just change up something, break the cycle.
Yeah. And it was just because he'd got into his head that the continued momentum of the business required him to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally worked himself into the ground to the point where I kind of said to him in that first session, look, Darren, what do you do? It's like, I run an IT company. It's like, okay, Darren, who's Darren? And he kind of sat there and looked at me and was like, an entrepreneur, a businessman. I'm like, no, that's what you do. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Took him a while to answer that question. He'd become so disconnected from who he was through building a business that he was scared to face the reality of who he actually was.
Yeah.
And that's not a great place to be for it. It's really not. But so many business owners, they get clouded. It becomes their identity. And when your business is your identity, anything that happens to your business becomes your identity as well. And Darren's biggest issue was he was getting companies wanting to buy his company. Mm-hmm. He felt like they wanted to buy him.
He felt like
he was going to be bought and suddenly someone would own him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what created that real deep struggle with him. He actually, because he'd bound himself so tightly into the business, he did feel irreplaceable. It was a great feeling. But all of a sudden, the vultures were swirling round above his head and they were gonna eat him. They were gonna gobble him up into something bigger where he meant nothing, where he'd lack meaning. And he felt like he was literally gonna be bought. And that's what put him into such a position of, you know, being paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen to any business owner. The truth is, Darren, his business was successful. It was a sustainable business. It's not like it was going to tank. It's not like he was going to go bankrupt anytime soon. It's not like he was in any danger. But the sheer fear of being owned and purchased and bought and becoming significant put him in a place where he was paralyzed and couldn't move with fear, even though he didn't really have anything to be scared of.
Oh my goodness. This really speaks to me because if you and I had talked like 2 years ago, I would have been like, dang, maybe I should hire this guy because I feel that way. I mean, it was recent that I started making moves toward, okay, how do I make this a self-sustainable thing? How do I take myself out of the picture? And I didn't realize it at the time. I do now, but doing that is an exercise in divorcing your identity from that of the business. Like, I am not my business.
Yep.
Hey, you know what? You are not your business. I just came up with a title for this Ooh. Episode. Yeah, there we go. But I'm not my business, and Darren is not his business. And we're out there creating these things, these abstract ideas of, hey, we're going to have a group of people that align toward a singular mission, and we're going to just do this and serve people. But that's not an identity. That's a thing, and it's outside of ourselves. How many entrepreneurs do you think struggle with that? Is it like at least four, I'm sure, There's at least four entrepreneurs on the planet that struggle with this idea.
Yeah, but I think it's like, obviously some people have lifestyle businesses
mm-hmm.
that are always going to be anchored into them. And that if that's a specific choice, then you have to kind of mitigate that and run your lifestyle business
mm-hmm.
and be wise enough to ensure that you keep it that way and it doesn't become something that starts to roll over you. Because if your business is a vehicle and you've got a lifestyle business, then it's a nice little, you know, car that you drive, right? You drive that round, drive it between your meetings and it's happy. You're never going to grow it into something that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not clever, you can end up that same car will run over you. So if you've got that lifestyle business, it's just being very aware that it is a lifestyle business. And you're not going to be able to replicate yourself or clone yourself anytime soon. Now, if you're going to grow a bigger sustainable business, then actually, at the beginning, there is your values that are driving that business. Your initial early employees create the culture for the company.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important that you gradually start to gradient away from it being your business and becoming the business.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you need to gradually delegate away some of those responsibilities. You need to start to take your personal micromanaging imprint out. More importantly, you need to start to channel that towards your own personal brand. Because in this world that we live in today, it's actually important to have a level of personal branding, because that will give you gravitas in your industry. It also helps you to start to build something that's not based on your company, so that when you decide to one day exit it, close it down, go off on another tangent, start a second company, you still have that personal brand, which is your identity in the business world. And that isn't something that can be purchased, can't be sold, and it can't be impacted by your business. Outside of that, you can become the person who started this, but actually, this is me, my personal brand. And that's something that I, again, speak with entrepreneurs about, because having that personal brand and growing that, as well as growing yourself personally, becoming a more self-aware entrepreneur, you will actually find that it's much easier to navigate those situations, and you don't find yourself procrastinating, chasing perfection, or paralyzed in places where you don't want to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I picked up on that change between not referring to it as my business and referring to it as the business. And even that basic change is enough to like start getting your mind thinking in terms of that's over there. I'm building a thing, but it's not me. Like it's not affecting me to build that. And that by itself is a really big takeaway. And I think a lot of people I've heard, fellow owners, they refer to it as my business. And part of me wants to tell them like, oh, please don't, because don't refer to it as your business, because then you start, you got that personal, like your brain thinks, oh, it's me. And it's like, no, stop me. That's an abstract thing over there. It's the business. So man, this has really been a cool conversation. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. And I'm glad that, you know, life has got you on this path where you're able to impact the lives of other people. Cause you're right. I mean, you know, you're not the first coach of this type that I've talked to. And there are probably millions of entrepreneurs out there that need your kind of help. You know, this is something that, like you said, it affects their health. It affects their mental health, physical health, spiritual health, even. It's a mess. It's a mess. And I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. How would people find you if they were going to reach out and engage you or find out more? Do you have a handy way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, the best places for people to reach out would be on essentialize.co.uk. And I'm sure you'll put that in the show notes, and at leechambers.org. And on both websites, you'll find my offerings, my blog, my social media, and you'll be able to, yeah, immerse yourself in this world. But let's be honest, every entrepreneur, you've taken a brave step outside of that world of employment. And yeah, if you're crazy enough to take that brave step, then you might just need some support. Because I'll be brutally honest, there's times when I wanted to jump off the roof, and that means that I'm building something with meaning.
Yeah. You and me both, brother. This has been just such a wild journey, and I know I'm not the only one, but this is harder than anything else that I have ever done. And I'm married. My wife and I, we have 4 girls, and it is easier to raise these girls than it is to raise a business. It's like, sometimes I'm like, what the heck am I doing? Like, you know, are you crazy? Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to make something out of nothing. Of course, we're a little bit kooky, but we're going to make it. And you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, it takes a deep, deep support network of people that are looking out for each other. And I think people would be wise to get you in your network. So, well, it's awesome chatting with you, man. I'm glad we finally got the chance to do this. I know when I sent the email out about, you know, hey, getting back on the schedule, let's rock and roll, you know, I was really glad. I was really glad to see you pop up, because I'm like, I got to hear this guy's story. And so I did. Here we are. Awesome, man.
Life works.
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, listen, I will go ahead and I will wrap up here, and I'll let you get back to the rest of your day where you're obviously inside and warm, and I'm not. And we'll get this scheduled pretty soon. All right, man.
See you for Fritz.
All right. Take care, sir. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too, man. Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.